We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should do wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you this Holy Spirit. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
Oftentimes, we wish that there was a clear direction for what we should do. I don't know if for you it was a job opportunity that you were wondering, like Greg, should I take this? Should I go with this opportunity? Or is this God's will for my life? Maybe it was a relationship. I know for me, I prayed mightily over my relationships. Is this a good relationship for me to enter into? The Lord blessed me with those answers. Maybe for you, it's been a family situation. How do I approach my brother about this break that we've had, this real drama that has gone on, and yet I know it's not satisfied, it's not worked out? A coworker who has gone to your boss about something without talking to you first, do I address that with them? We always have these questions, and we want God's will for these moments in our lives. And that's appropriate. And as we come to this text again, this is our second time talking on this text here in 1 Thessalonians. We have one of those occasions where Paul says, this is God's will for your life. This is God's will for your life. And if you're like me, it's funny how oftentimes I want God to give me specific GPS-style directions. Turn right here. Don't go into that coffee shop, go into the one across the road. And yet, in the very things that God says, by the way, this is the will that God has for your life, I kind of brush over it, and I kind of gloss over it. And so, we are going to talk about today sexuality and sex. And I warned you about that last week, so that especially our parents could be aware that that would be a conversation topic. But we couched it in this passage because Paul, as a pastor, is putting it in a very tender and gentle place here. And he is framing it within the context of how should we show our love for each other. He says that we should show our love for each other as family, as brothers and sisters do, as aunts and uncles do, and grandfathers and grandparents do, that when we come to our relationships, that we would do well to be sexually pure in our midst, because it's God's desire not just to give us boundaries, but to protect us. And that's what this text is all about. And we'll be brief because there's not much time left, and I knew that this sharing time would be important. And really, that was the biggest sermon, as we see how God is working in our lives. But we're going to touch on this because this falls right in the middle of Thessalonians. Paul doesn't step back from it. And in fact, one of the surprising things perhaps about the Bible is that the Bible has a lot to say about this topic. Probably much more than we have to say about it as pastors or maybe even as parents to our children. And my admonition for you today, if you do happen to be a parent, is you don't have to have the sex talk with your children. You don't have to have the sex talk with your children. You need to have many sex talks with your children. You need to talk about it regularly and clearly with the truth of the Lord that's right here laid out for us. We'll talk about different resources for you. But if you're a parent, I want to encourage you to create an atmosphere in your family where sexuality and sex can be discussed openly, because if your children have questions about sex, they will ask someone. And if they can ask you, I promise you'll be happier with those results than if they ask the internet. So this is a reality that we are in, and the good news for us is that we did not have it as bad as the Thessalonians. We think that we are in a culture where there is sex and sexuality at every turn, from billboards that we drive past on the freeway, and my children say, "What does adult store mean?" to emails that are sent into our email box without our requesting them, to anywhere we go and turn on a television. I mentioned last week, there is more access to lurid and tempting sexual content than there is access to free, clean drinking water in the United States. This is the atmosphere we're in now. But the atmosphere in Thessalonica was just as bad, and perhaps could be considered worse. It was a Roman town, an area where the worship of the deities around the dominant religious groups was just bathed in it. It was bathed in it, and there were those who would go out and solicit and draw people into worship through their sexuality. And that's why Paul says, I can't go on with my letter without addressing it. But he does it very gently, and we're going to listen to what he says. He says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you on how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now.
Paul had been commanded in Acts 15 by the apostles when he went back to Jerusalem. Remember, we said, hey, I'm going to go out and reach out to the Gentiles. And they said, yes, do that. Don't require them to do the whole dietary law thing. We're okay with them not doing the circumcision thing. But teaching them to not follow the ways of the idols, that's what we want to encourage them, things that would be offensive to their Jewish believer brothers. So no strangling, eating strangled animals, that was a practice that they would be offered up to idols. Not drinking, eating anything that's bathed in blood, that was something, again, with the idol worship. And right in the middle of those two commands, he says, and to avoid sexual immorality, something that, again, was connected to that idol worship. So Paul is doing exactly what he said he'd do when he went out of Jerusalem and said, hey, I'm going to take the gospel to all these places. So here in Acts chapter 17 and 16 and 17, he's just visiting the church of Thessalonica, and now he's writing to them as he's sitting in Corinth. He's in some of the more debaucherous cities when he's writing this to them. And so he says very gently, each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lusts like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. You know, for us, we like directions. We like when it's clear. If you've ever purchased an IKEA product, you know how it is hard to follow directions if they're unclear. And if you've ever ended up with a cabinet leaning to the side or a chair with two legs sticking up instead of down, you know that you need these instructions to know exactly how to figure things out, and it's so much more important for our sexuality and our relationships with each other. Because the reality is we are physical beings. As Richard Foster says, you don't have a body, you are a body. You don't have a spirit, you are a spirit. So when it comes to this topic of sexuality, those things that deeply touch the body deeply touch our spirit as well. And so Paul is saying, each of us should learn to control our own body. Now, in the original language, he was even more euphemistic. You know how a grandparent would talk to a grandchild about the gift they've been given and to hold on to that gift until they are married and can give it to that one special person. They would speak kind of euphemistically like that. And Paul, if you were to translate this very woodenly, it says more or less, each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. But of course, because in English that would not register with us, what is he talking about? The translators have to make it a little more clear. And perhaps in our context, we need to be a little more clear. But as we look at this concept of what does it mean to have our body and to control our body, we look at various texts. And so if you're a parent, you can scribble these down, because these are the texts you'd want to look at when you're talking to your children about sexuality. In Genesis 2, the first, stories of creation, it makes it very clear that our sexuality is a part of how God created us in his image. And so in Genesis 2:24, it makes it very clear that there is a desire that when a man marries a woman, they become united in some special way. Talking about the knowing, the Hebrew word for sexuality or sex is to know someone. And so the idea is it's a special intimacy that's reserved for that marriage context. And we know that Jesus thought this was a good idea, because when we came through this passage in Mark chapter 10 or in Matthew chapter 19, so parents, if you're jotting down, Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, specifically, Paul, when he's talking to the Pharisees, reminds them of this fact that God designed it that two would become one, and that what God has brought together, we say it often in marriages, let no one tear apart, in wedding ceremonies. Ephesians chapter 5 is a great text to go to think through. What does Christian fidelity mean in a marriage relationship? Specifically verse 28, but the whole passage, Ephesians chapter 5. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is another admonition about being careful with our bodies and not uniting ourselves casually with sexuality. And again, they were in a culture just like ours, where sexuality was kind of worn as an extra scarf or changed as often as a new coat. But what Paul was calling them to was something different. Each of us should honor, control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable. In contrast to, or verse 5, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Now, before I sound like I'm just blanketly condemning our culture, our culture is a reflection of all of us together. And so we are responsible for culture to some degree. And so before we just throw our grenades at culture, let's remember the reason things are on TV is because we watch what's on TV. The reason the movies are out is because they make money, and the people who are going to the movies are funding that. So as before we throw grenades out there, let's remember that we are a major part of this culture. And so we need to be careful of what kind of culture we are making. And we also need to remember that our culture has some good things going on. Divorce rates are much lower now than they were in the 90s. Abortion rates have fallen by a third. Now again, we would like to see much more progress, but there are good things going on in our culture. But we also know that there are many troubling things, and that's why it's important for us to be clear to each other, to ourselves, about what this means. One thing our culture is universally against, that we are also against, is the pushing of sexuality on someone who is not able to decide for themselves, or who is deciding no. So any form of pushing sexuality on someone else is generally and blanketly still, thankfully, not condoned by our society and condemned. And we would stand up in agreement. And we would just add that sexual expression is to be celebrated only in the marriage covenant, in the context of a marriage, a faithful marriage relationship. Parents, if you're looking for a good book on this topic that even talks about homosexuality, about other issues that young people might be facing, I did enjoy Richard Foster's book. It used to be titled Money, Sex, and Power. But I guess you can't publish a Christian book with that title for very long. So they changed it to The Challenge of the Disciplined Life. The Challenge of the Disciplined Life. And I knew I wouldn't remember that. But I thought it was very good because it brings in the biblical teaching and it talks about how we can teach our children and talk to our children about this. But singles, it has a great large section in there about living life as a single person. And what does that mean? The fact that I am still a sexual person and yet I am a single person. Great passage on that. Great passage on dating couples, the value of waiting for a marriage relationship. For our time today, I want to just make a point. One of the things that this is talking about specifically is this idea of pushing past boundaries. In verse 6, in this manner, no one should wrong or take advantage of his brother or sister. No one should wrong. That word is also the same word for to defraud, to con someone. Or should take advantage, that word is also like transgress, to push past a boundary. And that's the major emphasis that Paul is making here when he talks about the judgment that God will have the next few verses. That if we have to be careful, because if we push someone beyond their boundaries, or we con something somebody into something that's inappropriate, that God will be their protector. See, here's the truth about sexuality that we see from many passages, this one included, is that God's design for our bodies is rooted in his love for us and is his desire to protect our souls. See, the false notion that this is just something, an extra thing, an extra part of us, like we might have one type of cell phone or another, or we might choose to go to a sports game or not. This is something radically different. And many of us adults can attest that some of the hardest things that we have to share about our stories have to do with this area. And so we want to be honest with you young people. We don't give you these ideas from the Bible because we have always followed them and all the adults here have never had any struggle with it. In precisely the other direction, many of us can say, we can speak from experience that God is being truthful. That there are damaging ways ahead if you disregard his teaching on sexuality. If we just take, whatever the world throws at us and say, sure, we're fine with that. God desires our sexual purity because he desires to protect us. So this discipline that he's talking about in the last few verses, those who reject this teaching, that God will be their judgment. I don't know whether he's referring to outsiders who are still living like the pagans, who are still living in that kind of atmosphere, who are coming into the fellowship or around the fellowship trying to lure them into these activities. Could be. Or it could be those people who are in the fellowship who just aren't conforming to what Christ has said. And he's saying, watch out. Because if God is their defender, you're setting yourself up to be standing against God. Because God cares about them and their protection. Again, each of us has a different experience and past. But God has said that he has given his son for us to forgive us of all things that have brought us or separated us from him. And now he's calling us to this purity. And he's calling us to a purity that is developing a love for each other that is more and more defined as brother and sister. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first few verses, he encourages us in that way. Men, don't rebuke an older man, but admonish them as a father. Treat the younger men as though they were brothers. Treat the older women as though they were your mother. And treat your younger women as though they were your sister. Men and women, if we saw each other as brothers and sisters, then we would not objectify each other. We would be faithful to look out for the best of each of us. And that's what Paul is calling us to. So letter that St. Ignatius wrote to the Ephesians just in the second century, so early 100s, he kind of had this phrase in there that I really liked. He said he desired them to live with complete purity and self-control. May you abide in Christ Jesus physically and spiritually. I thought that was a beautiful way of saying it.